When your children ask in times to come, what do these stones mean? That was the statement given by our God to share with His people as they crossed over to a new adventure, that they would remember where they'd come from. That was surely portions of the reason for the gathering of the 12 stones, that God wanted His people to remember where they'd come from. You know, it's helpful for us as people today to remember where we've come from, to know more clearly where we're going by considering where we've been. Scripture tells us where there's no vision, the people perish. But I don't know about y'all, but to have a better vision of going forward, it always helps me to remember where I've been. Just a few days ago, Manya and I had someone doing a little repair work at our home. He's a friend. His name's Chris. And we trusted Chris so much, we left him there to work while we had to go run an errand. Well, Chris had to run an errand too. And he came back a few minutes later. And Manya, being so trusting, she even gave him our garage code. She doesn't even give it to me sometimes. Changes it, doesn't tell me. But she gave it to Chris so he could get in, make himself at home. Well, as it would work out, a few minutes later, after he had arrived, he calls Manya and says, "This code doesn't work." I said, "Tell him to wait a few minutes. Try it again." Code still didn't work. She said, "Oh, yeah, we left the front door unlocked. Go through the front door." The door was locked. So Chris was stuck there, outside of our home, unable to get in. He'd been there just a few minutes early. He had to run his errand. He came back, and Manya said, "Just relax. We'll be there in a few minutes." She drove back home, and I was picking up a different vehicle. She texted me, and she said, "You're not going to believe it. He was at the wrong house." He was out front, already had the water turned off at somebody else's house. He told her, he said, "Now, you're not going to tell anybody about this, are you?" She said, "The only person I'll tell is the preacher." And I made him one promise. I said, "Chris, I won't tell anybody that you know." So none of y'all know Chris, right? But Chris's problem was this. He'd forgotten where he'd come from. He'd been there just moments before, but he didn't remember. So the fact that he didn't remember where he had been, it impacted where he was going. And such it is with us as people of faith, as family. At times we need to pause and remember what's gone before us. That was the commission of God to the people of Israel as they camped on the side of the Jordan and prepared to go over into the promised land. God said, "Take these stones, so you will remember from where you came." But you know, not only does God call us to remember so we remember where we were, but also to remember where we're going. Where we went from here. That was the commemoration for the people Israel as they crossed over. God wanted them to remember that this is the place that they had a new beginning, a new vision to be the people of faith, the children of God in the Holy Land. You know, so often, I don't know about you all, but it's tempting for me to only remember, to dwell the hardships, the challenges that I face, and I fail to cherish the good that came from even the struggle, the journey. You see, I think that was the message that our God was sharing with the people Israel when He said to them, did you notice in our text today that it said as they crossed over, it was the 10th day of the first month? You see, that was the same day that the people Israel escaped Egypt 40 years prior. It was the day of the Passover when God said to them, I want you to commemorate, remember the hardship that you've gone through as my people, but also I want this day to change forever. I don't want you only to focus on the hardship, your time of bondage, your time of slavery, your time of conflict, but to celebrate the new life that you found in me. You know, I heard a story recently of when Bartholomew Diaz in 1488 discovered a cape on the south tip of Africa. And he described it as the Cape of Storms, because it was the place where the Atlantic Ocean and the Indian Ocean intersected, and great storms, dangerous storms, life-threatening events would invade those on their ships and making their journey. But years later, what had once been called the Cape of Storms was renamed by John II, who named it the Cape of Good Hope. Because he found that this cape, it created a new trade route to go to India. It was not only a place of challenge and persecution, but a place of life and hope. You see, that's what God lays before the people of Israel. To remember, as they see these stones, not only the hardships of what they've left behind, but the joy of where they're headed in the promised land. So we remember on this day the history of the church, the Christian church. But we also, as people of Ripley Presbyterian, those who've been impacted by this worship community, we also consider this question. As we had our young disciples here this morning, and God said, in the years to come, when your children say, what do these stones mean? You know, I wonder if some of those little children in those days maybe had a deeper question. To not simply talk about the 12 stones, but some of them may have had it on their mind, what about our stone? You know, the scripture says that each tribe of the people of Israel was represented by a stone. I wonder if some of those inquisitive young minds who asked questions, who wanted to know the answers, might have said, Dad, Mom, grandparents, tell me about our stone. You know, that's what we celebrate today too at Ripley Presbyterian. Do you know we have a stone of our own? As you walk into our sanctuary, just to the left of our entrance, you'll see what some call a starter stone, a cornerstone, a foundation stone, one stone on which all the others are built and measured. If you look upon that stone, it tells you a little bit about our history. It begins by saying simply, Presbyterian Church. And you think back to the heritage of our denomination, of the history of this congregation. It's part of our story that we need to leave for the young minds who come after us. You notice that for our response of faith today, we've listed in place of where we normally share in the Apostles' Creed, the six great ends of the church. Those are foundational beliefs of our faith, of our church. The proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of humankind. The shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of God's children. We care for the children of our community and of our faith. The maintenance of divine worship. We worship in a decent and orderly and respectful and reverent way to our holy God. The preservation of the truth. We embrace God's holy word to guide us. The promotion of social righteousness. We care about society outside of these walls of worship. And the celebration of the kingdom of heaven for the world around us. And you know, our congregation, as it began in 1837, Embrace those tenets from the beginning. Do you understand and know that the very first minister in Tippah County had roots in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, a sister church of theirs, a church that I have roots in? That first minister, Reverend Cooper, was not only the first person of preaching the gospel, but he was also the first educator in the county. You see, it said from the beginning that we as Presbyterians live within the sanctuary of faith, but also outside of the sanctuary. Our very first pastor here at Ripley Presbyterian led a church that began the day before the city of Ripley was incorporated. You see, I think that's more than just a coincidence. It was a symbolic statement by our forebears that if you're going to start a community, if you're going to begin a government, then you must begin with faith. Our church is built upon that heritage, being involved in education, in the community, in government, as well as the life of faith of people. Also, our church tells us, our history books remind us that the first manse of our church, how about this? Listen to this, men. The first manse, the first parsonage for our congregation was built in large part by the work of the Ladies' Aid Society. How about that? You see, when our church started, the women were the main workers. Did y'all realize that? Some things never change, do they? We have a heritage built on strong women leadership, and we're grateful for the work of our Presbyterian women. Our congregation, if you look on our stone as you enter, it tells us the beginning. It says our church was organized in 1837, but it also speaks of this building that we're in today being erected in 1978. We remember the stops along the journey. We remember that I found this nugget that some of you will appreciate, that in 1850, we had those beautiful hand-carved wood pews in our sanctuary. And as the sanctuary moved and was refurbished in 1924, those pews that had adorned Ripley Presbyterian Church for many years were given to New Prospect Presbyterian Church. You see, that tells me something else about our heritage, Presbyterians. We are a giving church. That's part of what started this congregation from the beginning, to live outside of themselves. One of the first worship houses that our congregation had at the beginning, we shared with other congregations. It speaks of the ecumenical spirit of our heritage. Friends, that's some of the things that we learn when we see the stone on which our church is built. A church of givers. A church concerned with the community. A church upholding the worship of God and doing everything to the glory of our Lord above. That's what our church was founded on. That's what we remember when we see our stone. And when you think about that stone that says 1978, and this beautiful congregation celebrated the inauguration of this sanctuary, the very last hymn that they sang in the old sanctuary, we call it now, was "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." The first hymn, a few moments later, sang in this sanctuary, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And we celebrate it here today. Have you thought about this, church? That this sanctuary, 4 years after it was built, they celebrated the note burning. They owed no more money. So we as a congregation today, we've been gifted by those who've gone before us, those who've contributed to the beauty of our sanctuary and for our community, a lasting symbol of God's grace in our community. So at this time during worship, I would like for you to join with me in pausing And let's remember those who've gone before us, the saints in the faith who've contributed to our journey. Those who are in heaven that we hope to meet again, or those who are far away and not able to be here with us today. So for 180 seconds now, I invite you to close your eyes and reflect and give thanks to those who've gone before us to make us who we are.
Thank you.
so we remember. We remember where we have come from. We remember where we are going. But most importantly, friends, on this day, we remember how we got here. You know, our scripture today on Joshua chapter 4 began with Joshua chapter 1, where God said to the people Israel, as you go forward, know these words that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Friends, we give thanks for all who've contributed to our journey. But most of all, on this holy day, we give thanks to God, who's journeyed with us as Ripley Presbyterian Church for 180 years. May we continue to proclaim His glory and love and life forever. Amen.